You'll open your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. If I were to ask you to put a name on the one thing that you spend more time worrying about than any other thing, I know we have multiple things we're concerned about, but the big one, the one that really causes you turmoil in your life. What is that thing? Just put a label on it. What causes you the greatest amount of worry and anxiety in your life? Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, spent considerable time out of that whole sermon dealing with this topic of worry. And you remember well the part where he talked about the birds of the air and the flowers and the grass. And he talked about the lilies. And he closed out that section on worry with these words, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." It's been said that a worried Christian is a contradiction of terms. And that may be so. And yet, I think a lot of us tonight would confess to struggling with worry. Even though we know better, even though Jesus has said don't do it, Satan comes in and he creates concerns and anxieties and worries in our life. Often over things that we have absolutely no control over, but we lose sleep over these things. John Wesley, in his writings, stated that after working and disciplining himself spiritually for a period of years, he said, "At this point, I can no more worry than I could curse." He had worked to the point that he put worry on the shelf and didn't let it trouble him. I think there are some Christians that have been able to do that, but there are still a lot who haven't. Worry has been defined like this. This is a good definition. It's that small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. It can take over our entire thought process if we allow it. And once worry sets in, we try all kinds of things to dislodge it and to get it out of our minds and get it behind us. Whole industries have been built up who cater to worried people right here in our country. From Maalocs to sleeping pills to insurance policies to alarms for our homes and for our cars, all a testimony to a nationwide epidemic of worriers. But the solution to worry is not found where most people expect it to be found. In fact, the antidote to worry is very plainly stated in Scripture, right here in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And I'm convinced that a lot of Christians don't know that the answer to worry is much more readily available and much more simple than they ever realized. We're going to look at it now. Philippians chapter 4, down in verse 6. Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything." I don't know what worry you named that is your major worry. He says don't worry about anything, whether it's your health, whether it's your children or your grandchildren or your work or your finances. He says, "But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Did you know that once you have prayed for someone that you're deeply concerned about, once you've prayed about some situation that's caused you to lie asleep at night, did you know that in prayer you have done the most that you can do? You have done the best that you can do by placing it in the hands of God and asking Him for wisdom to deal with it. to help you know the right thing to do. You have already taken the major step, if there's anything that you can do in the process, and you've placed it in the hands of someone who can, in fact, do something, who cares deeply about whatever the situation is. Now, notice here what he says. It's not just asking. It's not just me saying a prayer to God and saying, God, I'm worried about this. Will you help this situation? He adds something on here. He says, ask with gratitude. And that's often the missing ingredient in this whole process. Peter said it similarly in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. He said, cast all your anxiety on him. And then he adds that little phrase, because he cares for you. That's the thanksgiving part. God cares for you. Lay all your petitions before him with thanksgiving. You're knowing that he cares about you. That's what you can be thankful for, that you have a God who is concerned for you and about you and about whatever you're asking him, and he cares about it. And so there's much to thank him for in the process of unloading our anxieties on him. Did you know that if you know that God cares for you, and you can know that, if you know that God cares for you, you know that he will not give you more than you can handle. There was a little boy in the grocery store, and he was carrying one of those little baskets, and he had his arm through it, and his dad was walking along, and he kept getting canned soups and some pretty heavy things and throwing them in that basket, and the little boy was weighed down, and a lady saw him, and she said, boy, that's a big load for a little guy like you. And he said, but my daddy won't give me more than I can carry. That's where we stand with God. We have a God who is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And if we know that God really cares about us and our troubles and concerns, then we also know that in the end, all of our troubles and trials will seem momentary and small. It'll all work out together in the end. No one enjoys going to the dentist. In fact, that's probably one of the things I hate more than anything in life, is going to have my teeth cleaned at the dentist. But I know in the long run, it's for my good, and there is benefit to doing that. I like the long-term results. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. When we know that God cares for us, we know that he will make it all better in the near future. None of us have long to wait in terms of eternity. God will make it all better in the near future. I remember having a grandmother that just thought I was the greatest thing on earth. And she loved me, and she always was there, and I just remember her. If I ever had any problem, she would just put her arms around me and pat me, and she would say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And I believed it. If Nanny said it, I believed it. It's going to be okay. And you probably had people like that in your life that just loved you and cared for you, and they would tell you everything's going to be all right. In 1 Peter 5:10, we have these words, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. God himself will see to your needs and bring you back to that place where you need to be of safety and security. So, Christian, don't worry. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Now, sometimes worry is exacerbated because we feel so isolated and so alone in our problems. We feel that we're the only ones in this battle and that no one else understands. But let me tell you again, that's just simply not true. God is totally aware of the circumstance that you're in at this very moment, whatever it is you're dealing with. David came to understand that. There were times when David wrote psalms that sounded almost despairing. But he came to understand that God was always right there with him through every difficulty. In the 139th Psalm, he penned these wonderful words, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." Have you ever been so close to someone that they could finish your sentence? They knew your thoughts so well that they could pretty much tell you what you were thinking? That's the way God is described by David. God knows you that well. And God knows what you need, and God knows your circumstances before you even voice those. Paul affirmed that God is more than able to come to our rescue. In Philippians 4:19, later on in the chapter, he says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." How worried would you be if you knew that tonight Jesus was going to be here in the flesh with you, and that of all these folks, he said, like he did to Zacchaeus that day, "I'm going to go home with you tonight. And I'll get in the car with you. And we'll go home and we'll sit down and we're going to have a nice long talk. And you just tell me all your troubles." Can you imagine the comfort to have Jesus like that? That really is the present reality, not just for a few of us, but for every one of us. We have the Lord that close, and we have his listening ear, and we have his compassion. And more than that, we have his ability and his power. Paul says, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." He can meet any challenge that we face. Later on in the chapter here in Philippians 4, in verse 7, Paul says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is the solution that we long for. This is what people want when they take medications to soothe their nerves and calm them down. They want peace. They want something that will put their mind at ease. And let me tell you the secret to all of this. This transcending peace that God has promised to allow to settle upon us when we're filled with anxiety, it comes not when the answer to our prayer comes. That's not what it says. It comes when we utter our prayers. That's when the peace comes. We don't have to wait for the medicine to do its work. When you pray that prayer with thanksgiving to God, that's when God gives you the peace that you've asked for. We don't have to have the answers, and sometimes there are no answers. Sometimes those answers are going to take months or years, and sometimes we may never even live to see the answers that we prayed for. But we don't have to have that. We don't have to have the final direction. We don't have to have the solution in order to experience the peace that God has promised. The peace comes from an attitude of grateful reliance upon God, knowing that God cares about us and that God is able and that God will work on our behalf to bring about what is needed for us. And all the while, he'll be watching the load carefully to be sure we don't buckle beneath it. You know, we're to the stage with our grandkids now that they love playing scary games like the Big Bad Wolf. And it's funny how children all love to be scared in a way. Now, they don't like to be terrified out of their wits, but they love to be scared within a certain parameter of safety. So we play that game at our house. And I remember as a child how we loved going out in the edge of the woods, and we'd all go out there, and then somebody would jump out and scare us, and we'd all run screaming back to the back porch. And it's fun to do that as long as you know that there's an adult close by that will take care of you in the event that you really are in danger. As Christians, we're never alone. God is always there. He's the one who keeps us safe. And so those uncertainties of life, We can have a childlike approach to them. And it's a little scary sometimes in life. And we don't know exactly which way things are going to go. But it can become for us an adventure of trust and reliance rather than something that just gives us ulcers. Listen again to the promise, this time from Hebrews chapter 13. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. You know, we've got children in this church family who at times are afraid to get up and go to the bathroom in the dark. I sort of remember that too. We have in this church family widows who at times are at home at night, and it can be frightening when they hear noises. We have parents in this congregation who are fearful about their children and their grandchildren. And we have those here who are fearful about their health. And we have some who are fearful about their financial security as they move on in life. And the truth is that life is going to throw us some curveballs, and Satan will do everything he can to make it as bad as possible. And the rain will fall in our life, and tragedies will occur. And in the end, not one of us here is going to get out of this life alive unless the Lord comes back first. But you know something? God stands by our side. And even with those realities of life out there, God says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Jesus said in John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And so as we move on in life, and as we experience the negatives and the hardships and eventually the loss of health, and finally as we contemplate our end journey on this earth, know that Satan will win temporarily. He'll drag us down to the grave. He'll do his worst. But Jesus has the key to every grave and every cemetery in this world. And he'll be there on the other side to free us from death, because he's already been there and come out on the other side. Now, a worried Christian is truly a contradiction of terms. And I'm going to try to do better. To place my trust in Jesus. And when worry comes along and the things that concern me so much, I want to get to the point, I'm not there yet, where I can say, like Wesley said, why, I'd no sooner worry than I would curse. Let me, as we close tonight, lead us in a prayer and ask God to help us toward that end. Will you pray with me? Father, we as your people here face a multitude of difficulties. And from time to time we share those with one another and we pray for one another. And Father, we know you already know every detail of every concern that everyone here has. Father, help us to be grateful in our reliance upon you. And Father, more than anything, we seek and we need desperately that peace that passes understanding. Please grant us that. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, if you need prayer, that's one of the ways God allows us to be granted peace. I talked to Janet before church and asked her if she felt better, and she said, well, I feel better just for being here again tonight. If you need prayer tonight, or if you need simply just to let go of that worry give it to God right where you sit. Do that. If you need to come, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.